Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I was not raised a Moravian, so did not have many of the traditions that some of you have grown up with and find so wonderful. And many of the traditions I embraced, I thought they were lovely, except for one, and that was the sunrise service. As a young adult, when I came to the Moravian Church and I found out they got up at some ungodly hour to celebrate the resurrection, I thought that Jesus should have been much more considerate of them and gotten up at noon so we could celebrate the resurrection. So I avoided sunrise services until I went to seminary, and I was the student pastor not at a Moravian church, but at a UCC church, so I figured I was safe. Then I found out that they also believed in sunrise services, and since I was a student pastor, the pastor of the church expected me to be present at the sunrise service. Now, they took sunrise very seriously. It wasn't 6 o'clock in the morning like here. It was whenever the sun came up. So that year, it was probably five-ish. And because this church was quite a distance from my home, the pastor and his wife said, "Why don't you stay overnight?" I thought that was very nice of them. And they also not only took it seriously to get up that early, but the church bell started ringing at 4 in the morning. And I could hear it, and I was not in a very Easter mood at 4 in the morning. I staggered down to the breakfast table, and I see my host very bright-eyed and cheerful, and the pastor could see that I was in no mood. So he sits back and he says, "I think I'll preach on the resurrection today." And I shot back, "Are you for it or against it?" Are we for or against the resurrection? Which side of the resurrection are you and I living on? Think of that story of the resurrection. The disciples, by the time the story that was read this morning, that was the evening of the resurrection. They had already heard about angels. They had already heard an eyewitness account from Mary Magdalene that she had actually seen Jesus. But they were living as if they did not know that. They were behind closed doors. They were shut away. They were frightened. And everything was under lock and key. They were living before the resurrection. They were not living as if the resurrection had happened. And then Jesus comes into their midst. And what does he say? "You losers?" That's probably what I would have said. You know, "You unbelievers, you infidels." No, he said, "Peace." He spoke peace to them. Every time Jesus comes to us, it's the one word he speaks, because his presence is peace. And so he spoke peace to them. And then he said to them, "Here I am, look at me." And they did, and they were overjoyed. And not only did he speak peace, then he gave them instructions. He said, "You're a witness to this." And he told them to go and preach about God's forgiveness. And so they did. The first person that they met, Thomas, who was not there for that particular meeting, so they went to him so excited and said, "We've seen him." And he said, "Yeah, right." So anyone who wants to share their faith and feels timid because somebody might scoff, here were people who had an eyewitness account. They didn't have to dream it up. They had seen it. And their friend Thomas said, "Yeah, I'll believe it. Not only when I see it, I want to put my hand there on the scars. I want to make sure it's not a ghost. I want to see him for myself." And then a week goes by. Now, my theory is that every day the disciples dragged Thomas to that room and said, he's bound to show up today. You've got to be with us. And every day Thomas looked around and said, you see him yet? Not here. I don't see him. But then a week later, Jesus comes back. Now, I want you to notice something. These disciples have been commissioned. They've been told to bear witness. They've been given peace. And what does it say? Are they living on the other side of that resurrection? Not on your life. The doors are locked again. And Jesus again comes and says, you know, haven't you figured it out? Doesn't say that. He says, peace. And he turns to Thomas and he says to him, here it is. Why don't you come feel me and know that I'm real? And Thomas says, doors, because life is so difficult. And every time we do that, Jesus can come in and in his presence say, peace, it's all right. You don't have to be afraid. Life might be scary, but I'm with you. Do you know what happened to Thomas after that great encounter? History tells us that he went to India, of all places, and started the church there and evangelized there. There are churches in India today that trace their roots back to Thomas, that disciple who said, I have to see to believe. Life was not easy for the disciples. Because Jesus was risen did not mean that there weren't hostile forces. In fact, most of those men suffered and died for their faith, and yet they never turned back because they knew the peace of Christ. Do you know his peace today? Peace is in his presence. I remember a particular time in my life. I was in my 20s. He wasn't only certifiable, he was a pastor. And he was pretty malicious. He was not competent, so when he made any kinds of mistakes, he would blame it on his staff. He also went after some of the weaker folks on his staff. And there was one particular woman that he just went after constantly because she was afraid of her own shadow. And being the brave young woman I was, I would stand up to him, so then he'd go after me. And this went on to the point that I wanted to pull the blankets over my head, quit the church, quit everything, because I could not handle this kind of maliciousness. Now, I have to tell you now, he's no longer in the ministry, thank God. He's gone and he's probably aggravating somebody else. But one morning I woke up and I thought, I can't go to work today. I cannot face this. And I mean, I knew about Jesus and living on the other side of the resurrection, but it was too difficult. And so I laid there in bed. And I finally said, Lord, I cannot go through this day without you. And I began to recount every hour of the day what was going to be happening in that day, what my schedule was like. And I told God about it. Not that God didn't know already, but I guess I needed to do that. He said, please walk with me through that day. By the end of the day, I looked back and I realized I was in perfect peace. He was still as malicious as ever. He was still speaking horribly to his staff. He was still speaking to board members that his staff was just the losers in this situation. But yet, I was at peace. What was the difference? Jesus was with me that day. Which side of the resurrection are you on? Thomas finally figured it out, as did the other disciples, that every time they were in danger, Jesus could speak peace, and they could go out and proclaim that witness that Jesus was alive. Anytime we have a problem in our families, we can ask Jesus for peace. Anytime in the church, when we see all the social ills in our community, and we see all the problems in this world, and we say, what can one little church do? I hope we can remember that we are not doing this alone. Jesus goes before us. Jesus will speak peace. And I hope we can ring out, as the Apostle Paul did, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On which side of the resurrection do you want to be? Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for your resurrection power. I thank you for the disciples that day who, even though they saw you, hid in that room just as we do so many times. And I ask that you would speak to us today, that we might stand up and be people of the resurrection. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.